4 and 20 elders were introduced to us in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. And we see one of their first acts that we see, and we see them throughout the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 19, on and on and on. And we see them, you know, first they were introduced as sitting, glory to God, you know, with seats, you know. Might have been the little thrones that God gave them, but they're called seats. They're seats of power too. And we see them with crowns of gold on their head. That's usually given to believers. You know, there's no place in the scriptures that tell us that angelic beings are crowned with anything. So we know these represent, you know, the believers down through the ages. But I say that they are more than that. They are a cloud of witnesses. You know, not to check the Lord. You know, we have elders in churches today that check and make sure things are, you know, balanced and so forth. Not to the left, not to the right. You know, it's right down the center. Elders have different roles. Well, you know, in the church ministries, in the body of Christ today, but these ones are not here to check the Lord. Can't check the Lord. They're here to give witness, to let you know that all the time that we've been here has none failed. Nothing failed of His faithfulness. And all His glory is still glorious. From the time we've known Him till this day, He's still glorious. And they cease not, we're told. You know, they follow the worship of the four beasts, and they cease not to say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And when they do that, when those beasts do that, those 4 and 20 elders, they also fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Now, this is not tedious worship at all. All the falling down and so forth, effortlessly flowing in the Spirit, because they love to worship Him. But they know that that's the reason they're there. You know, when you talk of His glory, when they saw His beauty like that, and around His beauty, all they can do is worship the Lord. And the Lord said, "Well, you can put those crowns on." And they said, "No, nah, not in your presence. We can't wear any crowns. You know, Thou worthy Lord," they said, "receive glory and honor and power. Has created all things for Thy pleasure, they are and were created." That's a good prayer to add to our worship. You know, we worship the Lord. Let's add that. Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him that He's worthy to receive glory and honor. We jump to chapter 5. Just want to show you, you know, how these elders throughout the book of Revelation, how they are portrayed in worshiping the Lord. All the things, how they give glory to the Lord. In chapter 5, we see the book. Yes, that was a very peculiar book that John saw in the hand of him that sat on the throne. He noticed that, you know, this book sealed with 7 seals. I mean, definitely a book has some writings on the inside, so that's assumed. But on the outside, what he noticed was 7 seals. And he heard a strong angel proclaiming, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And they searched everywhere, in heaven, in earth, under the earth, everywhere. They could not find any apostle, any prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Couldn't find anybody to step up and take that book. "And I, John, wept much," he said, "because no man was found worthy." Notice, no man. You know, no matter how much we understand that God wants us to be like the Christ, And he will, because like him, and well, she's shaping us in that, you know, forming us like that. But he stands alone. Oh, yeah, he still stands alone, you know. And he doesn't want to be alone, though. He wants to bring all of us to be like him. But in terms of glory, position, and order, he's above all else. Praise God. And he wept. And then one of the elders, see, that's their role again. I'll tell you what's going on. If you engage the Lord deep in worship, one of those elders might just come to you and tell you a few things. So, well, weep not, he said. A lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. See, they understand these things. He had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Ah. And so John, you know, there was a big relief in his mind. My goodness, now we found somebody. So he's looking, turn around, looking for the lion. And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lion. They surround him like that. You know, attention when he's there. But this time around, what he saw instead of the lion was a lamb, you know, in a bloody, you know, pool of, I mean, his own blood, you know, just slain, full of blood and everything. But he looked closer and he saw that he had seven horns and seven eyes. And my goodness, what kind of, you know, lamb is this? And they, you know, immediately understood that these are those seven spirits from those same seven lamps, you know, couched in there, and those seven horns and eyes. And these are the spirits of God sent forth over all the earth. And this lamb, he came out, took that book. Yeah. Out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, when he had taken the book, and notice, as soon as he took the book, the 24 elders, they fell down. This is what they do. You know, see them again in action here. They fell down. And listen to what they said. They said, you know, I mean, this time around, first time we saw that they had crowns. You know, and clothing, you know, raiment, white and so forth. Now, really now we see that they had harps already and golden vials full of odors and the prayers of the saints were in their hands. Praise God. And they represent also all the priestly dimension through the ages, the ministry, body ministry, and they were right there. And they sang a new song. Well, it's new. Nobody ever heard it. Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred. So we see that they were people that had been redeemed, and they represented kindreds, tongues, and peoples, and nations. That includes the Jews. That includes the Gentiles. And he said, they have made us kings and priests. Glory to God. Yeah, so we should reign upon the earth. You know, and they were even looking. I mean, they're in heaven around the throne, but they're still looking to reign upon the earth. Beautiful. Beautiful, if you understand it. And he was looking. John was looking, and he's all of a sudden, see, now, see, angels come out. This time around, the elders are leading the charge in the worship and adoration. And after them, angels come forward. You know? And all of them begin to, thousands of thousands, millions, begin to say, worthy is the Lamb. I was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, they could not say,
for thou hast redeemed us. They can't say that. The Lord didn't redeem them like that. They couldn't say that. You know, so these elders, they had won over on the angels. Something the angels could not say, the elders could say. They could say, you have redeemed us. Angels couldn't say that. But they could all say, worthy is the Lamb. Everybody can say that. And receive riches. And every creature after that, whether in heaven or on earth or anywhere else, you know, they began to say blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts, they said amen, you know, and the 24 elders, they fell down, worshipped him. I mean, all this time, just worship the Lord, you know, all and on, we see many depictions, of these elders. You know, they're always there either to tell and show John something. For instance, in Revelation chapter 7, fast forward to that one also. You know, as John was getting deeper in these revelations, he saw some other things too. And while he was wondering, well, what is all this? You know, we're told that one of the elders in verse 13 of Revelation 7, another one of the elders said to him, you know, what are these things? And who are these people clothed with white robes like this? You know, all these people around the throne and everything. You know, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, which stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, crying salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. This is a picture that we should paint for the devil, you know, to let him know this is the end game right here. You know, devil can never have multitudes of people like the Lord. Look at the number of people that God has. Nobody could number them. You know, our God is always the victor, and he wears the victor's crown. Devil did try to cast down the third of the angels, but that's us. Far as he could get, God still had the majority. And God, when it's all said and done, it looks like this world is wicked and evil right now, and it looks like there are more evil people than good. But I guarantee you, you know, at the end of it all, the people that will be recognizing and worshiping and praising the Lord, they will be numberless. Because he says right here, a great multitude, which no man could number. That's right. They come out of all nations. You know, this is a great multitude. Kindreds, people, tongues stood before the Lord. And the 24 elders represent the same group. This, you know, they said, well, we all came out of tongues and nations and kindreds. Well, so they're just a select class. But there's a whole lot of people. You don't think that the blood of the Lamb was shed in vain, do you? He's going to get as many as he can, and as many as are ordained unto life. He's going to get them all. He'll get them one way or another. They might be first fruits. Well, they might be gleanings. Might go through tribulation or whatever, but he's going to get them all. And the angels stood around the throne, around the elders, worshipped everybody, you know. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power, you know, and might be unto our God. Well, he's God of the angels. He's not just God of the people. He's God of the people. He's God of the angels. God of the elders. He's God of all these ones that came out of, you know, the earth. He's God and God alone. And the elders, one of the elders asked him again, say, who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said, well, Lord, I mean, he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. See, they're coming out of there. And they have washed their robes and made them wine the blood of the Lamb, even out of great tribulation. Now, we've been through great tribulation from the beginning to now. There's always been tribulation for the saints. Yeah, we must, you know, Paul said we must through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God. And even at the end, there's this thing called the great tribulation. It's not just talking about the great tribulation here. Talking about great tribulation from the beginning. You know, I've been in this fight and the devil been trying to wear out the saints. But they will have the victors crowned, every one of them at the end. They're overcoming. And they're coming out. And even the great tribulation at the end, people are coming out of there as well. And therefore are they before the throne because they've made their robes to be white. And I should praise the Lord. They shall hunger no more. Glory to God. You know why? Because, you know, they are in the presence of the Lord now. You know, he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears. I mean, these are all the things that, you know, when you remember, we should just praise the Lord. You know, the appearances of these elders continue throughout the book of Revelation in chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 19, etc. You know, it would appear to John and tell him many things. Praise the Lord. Today, I want us to, you know, follow their lead. They're always praising and worshiping the Lord. They recognize his goodness as well. We should do that. You know, should recognize his goodness. Let me show you an example also of, you know, what corporate worship can do. There's a story, I'll paraphrase it, but I'll refer to it out of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You know, here we know that, you know, the temple, Solomon's temple and everything, you know, was being built. The house of the Lord was for many years being worked on. And now he's ready to open and dedicate the thing. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the instruments, and all these things he put in the treasures of the house of the Lord. And Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. You know, wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. Wow. The seventh month. God, praise the Lord anyhow. And all the elders came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark, and the tabernacle of the congregation, all the holy vessels, and so on. They brought it forth, and also the king of Israel, and all that were assembled, they sacrificed. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you have a leader, you know, that leads the people like this in the worship of the Lord? You know, and the priests, they brought the ark of the covenant, you know, to his place, to the oracle of the house, even the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim, you know, cherubims, you know, that set for their wings over the place like the God showed Moses and so on. You know, and, you know, the on and on is depicted. But let's jump here to verse 11 and see the beauty of this thing when they begin to, you know, get together in one accord to praise the Lord. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. Now, all the priests at that time were sanctified. Yeah? They did not take turns, go one by one. They did it all together. He said they did not then at that time wait by course, which is taking turns. But this time they did it together, all of them. you know, all the Levites, like singers, you know, them of the children of Asaph, and so on. They all, you know, were ready. 120 of them at the same time. They had trumpets. My goodness. And it came to pass, as these trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound. Not one person singing this way, another person singing that way. You know, one person thinking something, another person doing something else. No. Make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. It came to pass that when they did that, and lifted up their voice with those trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord and said, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. It came to pass that even then, see, in the beauty of that unity, the beauty of all of them in that corporate worship, it came to pass that then the house was filled with the cloud. Even the house of the Lord was filled with the glory of God. And the priests could not even stand anymore to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of God. I'd feel the house of God. This is something we can experience during corporate worship. So powerful, you know, and we can experience that. Jesus himself said, you know, for us now, he said, look, if any two of you gather together in my name, two or three, I'll be right there. So every time that you come into fellowship with other believers, remember, there's a promise from the Lord. But if we can get in unity and not be distracted, most people are distracted. You know, you come to church, distracted. You know, I look around and see that people are distracted. They're just doing all kinds of things, you know. And the praise team is singing. They think that, you know, it's some kind of entertainment or some kind of interlude to fill in the gap. Finish, and the praise team finish, and people wander into the church as though, well, you know, we can come after they're done. And all that attitude, the glory of God is not going to come down. You know, it's only going to come down when everybody is in unity with one sound. Praise team, audience, everybody, even angels. They wanted to join in too. You know, and it's a beautiful thing when you can really get in the presence of the Lord that way. And praise the Lord. And I want us to do some of that today. Even though we are virtually gathered, well, it's still the same. Because God is spirit. You know, God is not physical. God doesn't need to be in some physical location. In fact, people used to think, you know, that, you know, you had to go to this mountain or that place or the other place, you know. And the woman said to Jesus in John chapter 4, he said, well, you know, we Samaritans, we heard you Jews always saying that you got to go to Jerusalem and you got to go to this other place to worship God and so forth. What's that all about? You know, Jesus said, well, yeah, they've been saying that, but I tell you something. The hour is coming and now is that neither yet on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, nor anywhere like that, you know, will people need to go to a certain place to worship the Lord, and they worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. Torah, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. God is spirit, and is looking for worshipers worshiping in spirit. So, when we are gathered together virtually, the spirit of God is with us as well. And we can praise the Lord together. Put away, you know, all your stuff. Stuff that happened last week, over the last few days, last month, last whatever. Forget all that. Right now, in this moment, it's time to worship the Lord. Praise God.